Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and this week I'm joined by a special guest, Karen Wilson. Now, Karen is a yoga teacher and former chemical engineer who made a pretty big career pivot over a decade ago and hasn't looked back since. Her work now focuses on supporting busy women, particularly in midlife, to feel stronger, calmer, and more grounded in bodies that are changing. Now, what I love about Karen's approach is that it's incredibly practical. She blends movement, breathwork, and elements of yoga philosophy in a way that actually fits into real life rather than feeling like something else you have to add to your already full plate, and don't we know it. She's also the creator of the Strong, Calm, and Grounded program, which is built around her anchor framework. And this is all about helping women feel more like themselves again and better able to navigate the demands of everyday life. And full disclosure, she's also been a member of my Reboot program, so she's experienced my approach to training from the inside too. We get into a really good discussion around why stress, nervous system regulation, doing more isn't always the answer in midlife, and how to actually find that balance between pushing yourself and supporting your body. I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Karen Wilson. It is fantastic to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Now, Karen and my life have been kind of interwoven, haven't they, over the last probably getting on well over 10 years, because we both started really teaching for the same mother and baby classes back in the day. And then as our lives have moved on to midlife and all the joys that that brings, so have our work and our businesses. And we've sort of found our paths crossing time and time again. And Karen has also been part of my Reboot program in more recent times. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Karen and the work that she does, because not only is she a fabulous yoga teacher, it is so much more than just what we might archetypally think of as yoga, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because it's very much everything within life. And I'm very much into weaving it into life so that yoga isn't just something that you do once a week. And it's not about being able to do all the Instagrammable poses. It's about creating those anchors within your day that help to give you a little reset, that bring you back to yourself, so that you can then like launch pad into whatever else that your day is holding. And that's what I found with everyone that I've worked with over the years. It's not necessarily the kind of 60 minutes in a yoga class. It's the like little breathing technique that I've given them, or it's the pose that I've helped calm them down or given them energy. I mean, the number of examples that I have are kind of, I can run off my hands and my toes and my nose.
So. I bet. It really is, isn't it? And this is something, and we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, but that's something I love about the way you work. And it's quite similar in many ways to the way I work. It is about weaving it into your life, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
I know you don't like to think of yoga that something kind of sits over here on its own as something, oh yes, and I do it as this big chunk. It is that kind of thing that you do that permeates your day, and you build that toolkit of things that you can really dip into whenever it works for you. But I'm really interested in, I think, and when this podcast goes out, the podcast before it is me talking all about intensity and how important intensity is. And to sort of the outside, it seems like our approaches are almost like polar opposites, but actually yeah. They're not, are they? They're very much they sit together.
Yeah, and it became apparent in a podcast that I listened to, which was one with Dr. Chatterjee, and he was talking to someone about that low intensity, and I was like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's about the nervous system and the reset. So a lot of and it's about balance, as is everything in life. It's about that balance between the intensity and the rest. And I know you've talked about this before, lots. but it is, you know, it's those moments of stress, but also being able to reset, which is exactly where the nervous system sits. You know, we talk about stress with such a bad rap, but actually it's stress that gets us up in the morning. It's stress that manages to give us the motivation to be able to get stuff done. But our nervous system wasn't set to be in on all the time. So we've got two parts of it. We've got the sympathetic nervous system, which is the one that gets things done. It's the ones that gets us up. And then we've got the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and relaxation, or the rest and digest part of the system. They both need to be working. And it's how we swing from one to the other that's really key. And that's kind of where I end up kind of coming in. And that's where I think I found a lot of the benefits. You know, it's being able to start with recognizing that you're in that sympathetic nervous system overdrive, which can just be, and it might not be, when we go back to what it is, it's the lion stood in front of us. You know, that's the big scary event that prepares our muscles to run away, or, you know, literally freeze because it doesn't know what to do, which is why it's the flight, fright, or freeze.
Yeah. Always a difficult one for me to say that one.
I'm always worried that I'm going to
put another F. You're very funny now, don't you know it?
But, you know, so it needs to be there so that it can help us react to those situations. But modern society has had that switched on so much that we don't have the step down where we can press the pause and we can reset. So that's what I'm looking at. That's where the low intensity yoga meditation side of things come in, because we're stressing our bodies out either with our exercise, with our work, with our life. There's so many things that can go into our stress bucket, to the point where, you know, messages on our phone can make us, you know, the ping of mine's on silent.
Oh, God, yeah. The WhatsApps.
But, you know, it's that constant pinging that just is like, and you feel like, because of the society we're in, we feel like we have to respond straight away. And it's that taking it down, being able to give ourselves capacity within our buckets.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this before, but to me, the kind of little moments that we build in, whether it's a breath here or a pose there, it's that little tipping out of your stress bucket so that it's not overflowing.
I love that idea of having a bucket and just everything just pouring in, just topping up, and the good stuff and the bad stuff, because as you've alluded to there, it isn't just those enormous, scary life events, or, you know, the acute ones, like when, you know, someone cuts you up in traffic and you're like, oh, quickly brake, or, you know, you've got a sick relative or something that's kind of pervasive. It's all of the good things, isn't it? It can be good transitions. I mean, people talk about getting married, buying a house, those things, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's exciting. I'm starting working with a new client, or I've got a promotion at work, or it's something that's, or I, you know, I did a really cracking workout, but it was bloody hard. And it's all of those things. And do you think, like, looking at it from kind of the midlife angle, why do you think it's so pervasive for us? Is it that we just have so much going on, or is it because we are like just living in this culture of immediacy where everything's like got to be done right now? What's the sort of melting pot, I suppose?
I think it's all of it. We have got a lot that we are juggling. There's lots of plates. You know, there's the children, there's the parents, there's the work, there's the home life. There's a smorgasbord of places that we can put our energy, and we can't give our energy to all of them equally, you know. And then there's the emotional pull between, is it work that gets our energy, or family gets your energy, or friends, you know, and then guilt can come in. And then I think if you then throw into that little mix what's going on with our hormones being all over the place, they're going through our shift, the brain is going through our shift. They can equate the shift in midlife in terms of what's going on in the brain as a very similar brain reconstruction as teenagers. You know, so that kind of pruning of neural pathways, it's very similar in menopause. And then kind of, so there's just like the capacity that you've got for everything becomes a lot.
I 100% relate to this, and this is like on a personal level, I resonate with this so hard. And also, all, you know, nearly all of the women without exception who come to work with me are telling me these things on one level or another. But also that, I mean, you mentioned it there, this guilt, because you just don't know, what your almost like your ability to prioritize or really see what is the important thing just goes out of the window. And you think, well, I'm a perfectly intelligent, rational woman, you know, and yet I have all of these competing demands and I've no idea which one I need to tackle first, because it feels like everyone wants a piece of me. And it's that feeling, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And then you get that sense of being pulled in every direction. And one of the things that I work with my clients is that I've got like an anchor framework, and it's anchor because that, to me, that's exactly what my practices, the yoga, the meditation, the taking the dog for a walk, you know, those are my anchors. It's the routine that just makes me feel like everything isn't spinning all at once at a very fast speed. And it took a bit for me to realize that that's what I needed. I just needed that anchor. And it might just be 10 minutes of either lying down on my mat and literally doing nothing because I've got no capacity for anything else, or it might be a flow, or it might just be breathing. It's about finding what you need in that moment. But within that, you know, one of the things that I talk about is cultivating capacity and how capacity is different to capability. And again, for the personal level, I had that explained to me probably a good 10 years ago now, and I keep coming back to it because I was very much in that space of, well, I can do all of these things. I'm very, you know, I've got all the skills. I have the capability of doing it. But what I hadn't realized is that I'd filled up my bucket, that I didn't actually have any capacity to do anything. And because I didn't have the capacity, I then felt like I didn't have the skills to be able to do it.
Exactly.
Because it was just too much.
That's a real light bulb for me, because that's so true, isn't it? And that feeds into that whole idea of, well, I'm not very good at it then.
Yeah.
And it's not about not being good at it, is it? Because actually you can have all the knowledge and understanding in the world, but if you don't have that space, that capaciousness
absolutely.
To be able to deal with that, you've not got a hope, have you?
No, absolutely not. And that's when we then bring in, so it's understanding that you've got a capacity, and then what boundaries do I need to put in place to be able to keep, you know, I kind of think of it like a bowl, you know, you need a bowl to be able to hold your water or your cup of tea or what have you. Otherwise, it's just going to spill out all over the place. And that's when we don't have those boundaries, then that's what happens. I think there's sometimes a negative connotation with what our boundaries are. People see them like walls, you know, and it's about putting up barriers, and we need barriers. You know, it's what distinguishes, you know, by when we stop work. That's about a barrier. It's about saying no to when we really need to say no, but yes, maybe with that sense of yes, but. Yeah. You know, I want to do that, but I need to be home. It's like I went to an event at the weekend, and I knew that if I stayed out until 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be rubbish the next day.
No way.
So it's like, yeah, I will go, but I'm going to go once it hits. I think I was back home by 10:30, and I was so happy in my PJs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because that's what I knew that I needed. But I was taking someone else with me, and I was like, I'm happy to give you a lift. But know that
I'm leaving
10:30. And actually, the person I was taking was so over the moon. She was like, I'm so glad you had that.
What a relief.
There's no way I would manage to do it either. But actually, it was really empowering for me to kind of get, because normally I'd have gone and just stayed out and kind of looked at my watch the entire time going, please, can I go home? But to actually have that boundary in place of, I'm going because otherwise it will have no capacity for the rest of the week.
Totally. Oh my goodness. I mean, that's my dream. If I can be at home by 10:30, that is the absolute dream. I think most midlife women have that, don't they? I think we're all secretly hoping that a friend's going to go, great, but can we just leave a little bit earlier? It's like, yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It's not about, I love this idea of having like a flexible, almost like a mesh rather than this hard wall, something that we can kind of move, but it gives you that little container so you kind of know where you are and you can respect that, because it's really hard. And certainly I think so many women of our generation just weren't brought up to say no in that way to things, or to think about your, well, firstly about mental health, but I think also about your capacity for things. You know, I know you've worked in a corporate background as well, and that was never at all looked upon. You know, we used to have these awful capacity meetings on a Monday morning back in my lawyer days, and it was literally like, you know, what work have you got on? It wasn't kind of like, well, is your life really stressful? And are you as a human being coping? It was like, well, how many pieces of work have you got on? And how much more can you take? It was it was never said with a view to protecting or ring fencing or giving you the opportunity to go, do you know what? I'm really feeling it. I really could do with some help. It was more like, right, what else can we offload onto you? Which is just... it's crazy. And it's, you know, there are many, many women listening to this who are still in that world. And I know things have moved on somewhat, but not completely since, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, when that was my world. And I think we have such a long way to go. And we were the generation of women who were told we could have it all. Have it all, do it all, be it all. And I think, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I do think we were missold this in many ways, and not told the whole truth about what that would look like.
No, I agree with you in the fact that we did get that message of you can have it all. And it, again, it kind of goes into something that I think I read, but it was probably listened to a book rather than actually read a book, because if I try and read a book, I sit down and I fall asleep. I'm spinning all the plate. Even with all my little yoga practices, it's why I can tell everybody, and I can, you know, work with my clients, because a lot of it is lived experience.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it was another one by Dr. Chatterjee, and someone else was talking to me about it recently, about the fact that we've got these four pots. The funny thing was, I was talking to another midlife woman about it, and she was like, I can't remember what the fourth pot was. So we had, so there's work, family, I think it might be health, and might be friends. Again, we were just, but basically the pots in which you can have, which is that whole, but because we've been sold that whole you can have it all, we feel like we can put energy into those pots, or, you know, pull from those pots, however we, which way you want to look at it, equally all the time, and we can't.
No.
You know, if you're fully focused on work, then absolutely, you know, you're not going to be able to run the Hoover round at home. You know, it might be like it was this weekend. It's a month since I cleaned. You know, it's just you've been, you know, focus has been elsewhere, or, you know, the kids need stuff. So you're running around after the kids, which probably why I didn't clean. You know, we've had the Easter holidays. And so I've been having fun stuff with them, and therefore I couldn't focus on home work. You know, there was just only, comes back to capacity. You've only got so much capacity. And there was a lady that kind of talked about spoons, and I've definitely done a social media post on it. And it was about your, you know, you start the day with a certain number of spoons. So every day, or the bank account thing, you know, I know that's been another analogy, but you start, let's say, with 10 spoons, and each thing that you do can take a spoon. It might take two spoons doing your strength. It sometimes takes maybe three, you know, but it also gives you spoons, because I always, you know, by the end of it, I'm feeling amazing. But it's about, there's that exchange of energy that's going on all the time. And sometimes you're losing more than you're getting. And it's about noticing that and finding out what are your drains, what recharges you, so that you can bring that balance back into what you're doing.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And it's, I think sometimes it's really hard. And I want to come back to what you said earlier on about this kind of idea of the, you know, anchoring and working out where you are and noticing. Because I think often you don't always see the signs in yourself, do you, that you're kind of heading to this place where it is all going to get overwhelming. And sometimes even with hindsight, when you've kind of gone through that and now the other side, you're like, I can't really pinpoint that tipping point. But I often think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we kind of were able to capture that in the moment and think, right, that is for me a sign that things are getting a bit too much. Do you see that with the women that you work with or in yourself? And is there a way of kind of catching it almost before you get to that point?
So certainly, so one of the ways that I work with my clients is each session we do a check-in. Where's your energy levels at? And we do it on a basically think of a battery, you know, how full is your battery? So are we empty battery or are we full battery? That can be an indication of what you've got going on as a starting point. The other one that we quite often use is what's going on in your head, you know. So I describe, you know, again, it's a 0 to 10 kind of scale that we use, but I came up with, are you a calm, quiet countryside or are you New York at rush hour?
Good one.
Never been to New York, but to just and then someone said, what about Tokyo? You know, that crossroads in Tokyo. Yeah. He was like, yeah, that's
too. It. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
But it's a good way. And if you can build those little check-ins through your day, through your week, then it gives you a good reference point. So I use it in the sessions that I do. We have it at the start and the end so that we can see what shifted, what's changed.
Ooh, love that.
Within what's going on. And, you know, it might be the quieting of the mind. It might be that the body's just feeling a bit de-energized. And also it gives you that opportunity to work out, is there a disconnect between your body and your mind as well?
Okay.
Because quite often we can be really exhausted, but the mind is in overdrive.
Okay.
So it's just those little check-ins to see what's going on, where am I at?
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Because sometimes, especially when I'm working more closely with clients, they'll often say to me, I feel like this, or maybe it's like, I've had a really, really busy week at work and I'm not sure whether I need to just crack on and do my HIIT.
Yep.
Because I feel like I'm going to feel better afterwards. But actually, I'm wondering, is this not the time for it? Because I'm already feeling quite stressed and it's going to load more. And I always find those questions really difficult to answer because I'm not inside her body.
Yes.
And I'm always trying to find helpful cues or ways or checks. So that's really interesting to explore, actually, how you can kind of almost give yourself that benchmark, because that comes up an awful lot with my clients, and they're looking for that, almost that external validation or someone to go, yep, you've passed the test, you can crack on.
I had exactly that over the Easter break. Mm. So I had a day off and I had all the things that I wanted to do. You're like, all of them. But I knew that I needed my anchors, you know, and it was a Tuesday for me that was doing my core, my strength, my yoga, you know, there was the things that I normally do. But I'd given myself a relaxing morning, so I wasn't doing it at the time that I normally did it, and it completely discombobulated me. I was like, it was all over the place. And I turned to my husband, I was talking to my husband, I was like, I'm really tired, but I know I want to do my strength. Not that I need to, I wanted to do it, because I also knew that it would make me feel better. You know, it's that again, but coming back to the anchor, it was my routine. But I just felt so, you know, so drained that I was like, I'm not sure it's the right idea. And he was like, just go and have 10 minutes on your mat. And I literally, probably for 5 of it, lay doing nothing. And then I had a little bit of a move. And then from that, I did my core. And then from that, I did my strength. Because actually, all I needed was that pause to check in where I was, figure out, to let everything just land. And then from that, I was able to move on. But sometimes I do that and I'm like, no, doing something else is not enough. You know, I just need to just pause, and I just need to maybe sleep, or, you know, read a book or have a cup of tea. That's what I need in that moment. And it's really hard. You really do need to just tune in to where you're at in that moment. And that's how I work, you know, I can work with my clients in exactly that way. And we'll start off down a particular route that I think we, you know, would be beneficial for them. But with that proviso of, you know, if we're trying to up the energy because they're feeling a bit flat and a bit low, if it all gets too much, they just need to say, and then we change it.
Yeah. Nothing's set in stone, is it?
Nothing's set in stone. And it's like being able to give yourself that permission. Yeah. Of, all right, I may have had that you know, this is what I wanted to do today, but actually this is where I'm at and this is what I need.
Yeah, I think that's that's such a hard thing to learn because it's not a skill that we're taught, is it? Really, unless we go looking for it with people like you. But, you know, it isn't that skill of knowing when not to push through and knowing when actually the best thing for all concerned is to really just pause and do, and it's fine to do nothing. And I think, you know, it is. It sounds a cliche, but I think so many people relate to this, especially women in midlife. You just, you know, you're so pressed. So every moment feels like an opportunity to be more productive. Yeah. But I have the time. I don't often have the time and I've got a window. So I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to get that workout done now because the only time I have to do this HIIT workout is at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. And if I don't do it, then it's not done. But it's I think it's really challenging to look within yourself and have that moment and that permission without all the voices going, well, you're just being lazy, aren't you? And
absolutely.
You're pretty sure you could have done it and you'll regret it afterwards. And that, and I hate that whole narrative around, you know, never miss a Monday or you never regret a workout. And to some extent, I do think moving your body has this magical power in whatever capacity that looks like to shift your energy. But I absolutely don't agree that you should ever push through when you are on the floor with your energy, when your every cue your body is giving you is you just need to rest. But I found that on a personal level, I'm still, you know, it's still a work in progress. And I find if I get very overloaded, I almost become a bit manic with it. And I'm like, right, just keep doing, get on that wheel and keep going. And actually, it's really hard to stop, isn't it?
It is. Well, the you know, that adrenaline keeps going and then we get slightly addicted to that kind of go energy. The other thing that I have had a little light bulb moment of recently is success being linked to busyness. You know, that kind of, well, if I keep doing all these things, then I'm doing well, or I am enough, or you know, and rest is something we almost feel like we either have to earn or give ourselves permission for. But actually can quite often be the missing piece in whatever you've got going on. If you can just give yourself that break.
Yeah.
And I say this sat here with the being the person that has pushed through, you know, and constantly on the go and just collapses on the sofa and goes, and has had my husband sat behind me as I've been kind of working through and developing my program going, do you know, that looks really, really good. You should try that. I'm like,
But you know what, Karen? I think that's what is so brilliant about you is and these are the people that I think when you can relate to somebody, you know they're not living in this ivory tower, just get with it all perfect. And then this is the thing, like, I don't have it all licked, absolutely not. And I'm learning all the time. But that means that you can relate to the women that you're working with so much more and you understand their challenges. And I think that's something we should never hide because actually it's so important. And I so relate to that. And the busyness thing as well. I mean, I used to have to charge my time in 6 minute units. Every minute of my day was accounted for. It was a business model that I worked in the law that was based on being as productive as possible. You had your productivity analysed and you were penalised and not given a bonus or a promotion, or you would a slap on the wrist if you didn't meet that. And it's a really hard thing to unwind. And I think, again, we weren't modelled to, I wasn't modelled to as a young girl, women that sat or chilled or relaxed. I was surrounded by busy women who worked, and they were kind of the first of their generation that went back to work really after having children. And so they wanted to really show that they could do it all, and I'm juggling all of this. And, you know, it was the advent of the microwave meal and everything was optimized for women to be busy and doing all the things. And, you know, my mum to this day, she still doesn't sit down. She finds she finds it really hard to sit down. And that is something that I've inherited. And I have sons rather than daughters, but were I to have daughters, I would really want to model to them that it's okay to just sit. And you don't have to be like with your cup of tea, but also making notes of things that you've got to do tomorrow. Or you don't have, because there's always that little sideline, isn't there? The little way we weave in active, like productivity into our relaxation time.
And I'm quite, because I have got a girl, I am quite conscious, and it has helped me shift in where I have been into a much more conscious of how I use my time and what I'm doing and what I am role modelling to them, whether they're consciously making note of it or not, you know. But she, I can see it in her. She's a little bit on the constant go as well. And, you know, also when you see that, I'm like, oh my goodness me, that she's just looked at me and gone, but this is what mum does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of reprogramming for myself because I've got that mirror. I've got that human mirror that I've got in front of me that I'm like, okay, we need to make some changes so that when I say we, I need to make some changes so that, you know, but it, like you say, it gives me that place that means that when my clients come to talk to me, I completely get where they're coming from. I completely understand it. I mean, I had a client last week, and sometimes it's just the little subtle kind of unsaid stuff that they do or say that just makes me pause and start. You know, I had one lady last week, and she came and went, how's your week been? What's been going on? And just in the way she said, okay, I was just like, oh, okay, all right. And I actually, we had a cup of tea and we sat and chatted for the first part over the cup of tea, and we kind of got to the bottom of what was going on. So, you know, building that awareness, looking at what was going on in her nervous system and what she needed to be doing, and that, you know, then working from, okay, this is where we're at. Let's start to just work some gentle. If it all gets too much, we'll take it down a peg, or if you need a little bit more, then we'll work on that as well. Which is what you can do for yourself. You know, it's just, as you say in your reboot, it's that tune part, isn't it? It's tuning in to what's going on. For me, it's awareness, which is the starting point for my anchor. Everything starts with awareness, because if you haven't got the awareness, you can't change anything.
Yeah, it's so valuable, isn't it? I've started journaling again this year, which I haven't done for a really long time. And that just that 2 minutes at the start of my day has become really valuable to me for just having that check-in, which sounds really similar to the practice that you do with your clients. It's just that moment of, well, what actually am I worried about, or what actually do I need to get done today?
Yeah.
What, you know, doesn't need to be sitting there for hours, literally brain, I mean, you can do, obviously, can't you? You can absolutely brain dump. But for me, it's just that moment that, and I almost don't need to write it down now. It's become enough of a rhythm that I just have that little check-in. And I didn't do it last week when I was away for a few days, and I really missed it.
Yeah.
I really missed it. I think I thought because I was away and, you know, it was a change of scene and things were different, I wouldn't need it because it wasn't the minutiae of everyday life. But of course, in midlife, that doesn't go away. You don't ever really go on holiday.
It's just a change of scenery.
Isn't it? It's just doing the same thing but in a different place.
Yeah.
But you touched on there on nervous system. And I mean, we see nervous system as a buzz phrase now, don't we?
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere. And blamed for all kinds of different things.
Absolutely. And
so for you, when you're looking at someone and you're talking to them about nervous system, like, where does that sit? So what does that actually sort of look like? And what does it actually mean when you're talking about regulating your nervous system?
So what it can look like, there's a few different sort of, so one of them is that what's going on in the brain. You know, because that then can link into how they're moving the body and where they're breathing. So I've been reading a book, which is Breathe by James Nestor, if my brain remembers rightly. It only works.
I never remember the authors of anything. Four authors. They're just forgotten.
Absolutely. But you know, it was really fascinating. So having worked with the breath for years and knowing that elongating your exhalation switches on your parasympathetic nervous system, and, you know, shallow breathing gets you into your sympathetic because it's getting everything ready to, you know, your muscles fire up. There's a big link between how you're breathing and your nervous system. So for me, watching where they're breathing, you know, are they up in their chest or are they down in their belly? That can be a first kind of signal. What's going on in their brain? If they've got lots and lots of thoughts, that's probably going to mean that their nervous system's in overdrive. So it's that sympathetic again. It's the, you know, that constant to-do ticker that can be going on. It might be in how they're holding themselves. So quite often, you know, the shoulders will come up towards their ears, or there's tightness in the legs, because one of the things the nervous system does when it's in sympathetic overdrive is it activates all your muscles because it's getting ready to fight or to flee. You know, so it is activating that. So those are the kind of things that I look at. Also, a big one is whether you say right hand and they move their left.
Oh.
Because when your mind and your body are disconnected, quite often it's quite fascinating when there's that disconnect between your mind and your body.
Fascinating.
So that, and you know, some of it is not necessarily understanding your left and your right, but that's actually part of it as well. You're so disconnected to what's going on that, or they're just not here, you know, so you'll get them to move them. Like there's a 2-minute time delay in actually getting them to do what you want them to do. Those are the things that I kind of pick up on, or just how they're talking.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And seeing it in yourself, when you say right and left, my husband's always saying I'm useless with my right and left when I'm giving directions in the car, which is probably because I don't like his driving. My nervous system's like, it was right here. He's going, well, why are you pointing left? Speaks volumes about the state of our marriage, doesn't it? But quite seriously, I know what you mean, though. I do know what you mean, that whole kind of, I mean, when I used to teach a lot of in-person classes, sometimes you'd look at somebody and you just see that their brain was somewhere else. And you think, you know, I'm not giving you complicated choreography necessarily, but I know this is going to be hard for you today because I can see that. And they keep apologizing, saying, oh God, yes, no, sorry, you did say that. Yes. And I thought X, Y, Z. It's that disconnect, isn't it? That we sometimes don't see in ourselves. But when you have that interaction with somebody else, they can be like, yep, that's what it is. That's what it is. So, but we do, going back to what you said at the start about stress and the fact that we need stress in life. I don't want people to sort of listen to this, and I know you don't either, and just think, oh no, well, we need to always be in this state of just everything really calm, because it's quite important that we keep that stimulus in.
I mean, it's impossible. Even as a yoga teacher, even as someone who promotes the peace and the calm, I think. My husband would tell you that I am probably the least calm person in the house. But, you know, there is no way that we could be in that constant, perfect, calm state. Life isn't like that. And it's just something else that we don't need to beat ourselves up about. There's enough that we've got on, which is why it's more just, it's putting that pause in between how we react to life.
Okay.
You know, just, and that's what the, you know, that when the nervous system is activated and into that kind of slightly stressed state or even very stressed state, it's being able to have the wherewithal to just take a pause, you know, maybe roll the shoulders, let them drop, take a breath before you yell at the kids or you yell at the person that's cut you up in the car.
Yeah,
it's just, and it's really difficult, you know, and I don't always get it. There are times that you just, because life is ups and downs, you know, life is not flat, which means we can't keep one status of being at any one time, because that's not life. It's about how we respond to life as it happens.
Yeah.
And how we can, a lot of what I talk about is taking us out of an automatic response. Because when we respond automatically, there's no thought within it. Whereas if we take that pause, then we can consciously choose how we're going to respond to a situation.
Yeah, that makes such sense.
And that's what the difference is.
Yeah. You know,
So you can be in a really, really stressful situation, but be able to take that pause to then choose how you're going to respond.
Yeah.
Or whether you're not going to respond to it.
Yeah, you know? That's the other option. Yeah. I always seem to forget that option.
It's a really hard one.
Because you do nothing.
Exactly. You know, if you've got an angry person shouting at you,
yeah,
you're like, the automatic reaction is to get into the defensive and argumentative to shout back at them. But actually that just escalates everything up. Whereas if you can take that pause in that moment, and it does, you know, just to recognise what's going on in that situation and then respond.
Yeah, absolutely.
It brings a whole different energy to it.
Yeah, so true. I'm going to have to think about that. There's so many things for me to think about. I love these questions because I always get things that I could take away and use. I want to touch on the sort of physical aspect of all of this because, you know, I love the depth that we've gone into around, you know, how you feel and how you react and the emotional side. But there's obviously a physical impact, isn't there, that kind of living in this permanent state of fight or flight kind of gets into our kind of the way we move. And I know you've talked about how that impacts the muscles in the body and this sort of generally feeling quite tired. But I know you don't just do yoga, do you, Karen? You do all of the other stuff that I talk about as well and that I teach. But I want to talk about how the two fit side by side, because I think there's so much still, and it really frustrates me, and I'm sure you probably feel the same as a yoga teacher, that people like to polarize us in two camps and go, well, are you a yoga girl, or are you a Pilates girl, or do you do strength? Are you a gym bunny?
I hate
that word.
Yep.
But people like to kind of put us in these little boxes and make you kind of pledge your allegiance to one or t'other. But it doesn't have to be like that, does it?
Absolutely not. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It is about the balance. You know, and there is a lot of I was going to call it noise. There's a lot of information about how we need to be strength training in midlife, and we need to be working the muscles. And I felt recently it's kind of taking us away from the rest, the relaxation, the yoga, and it is the balance. You know, I was going to say you can't train 7 days a week, you know, full on bore with your strength and your hip and all the rest of it without your body going, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, as we said before, it's kind of layering up the stress upon stress upon stress. So then if you add into what you're doing with your diet, that's another stress that can be added in there. What I like to see is that they complement each other. So I certainly know from having incorporated core and strength into my daily life that my yoga practice is significantly stronger and more stable, and you know, my balance poses are enhanced because I've been putting in that strength work. But also, and we see it time and time again, you know, there is a lot of athletes, you know, footballers, athletes, you know, Olympic stars, all doing yoga and breath work because of the complementary part that does. Yeah, when we do breath work, it's not just about calming the nervous system. It's helping to increase our lung capacity. It's helping to increase the efficiency of the oxygen exchange within our lung capacity, which then has that beneficial effect in terms of when you're in your HIIT or when you're in your strength, of being able to kind of use the whole of your lung capacity.
Yeah.
To be able to throw the swear words at you. But you know, I hugely believe that they're complementary to each other. They're not to be against each other at all. And definitely in the podcast where again, it's like authors, isn't it? Dr. Chatterjee was talking to a man that I might say
a man
who was an Olympic trainer at some point. I'm going to have to find his name.
I know who you mean. I think I've heard him on something else, and I think I know the guy you mean.
Yeah. He very much talks about the benefit of walking and yoga in terms of being able to improve performance and the efficiency of the work that his top-performing athletes or doing. And I loved, I did a course which was yoga for athletes, and loved how she was just like, we are all athletes. Yep. If we're moving, then we're athletes.
Yep.
And I was like, I am totally an athlete. Amazing.
100%.
And it is, you know, it's just, it's the balance. It's, there's got to be both. And also, you know, when we're talking about the Mossies, being able to give them their full range of movement. Oh, yeah. We get stuck, you know, when we're sat at desks, when we're stuck, you know, or traveling, or even just walking, we get into a particular movement pattern.
Yeah.
And that means that our muscles work in that movement pattern. Our fascia, the connective tissue around the muscles, get stuck in that in that pattern.
Yeah.
And then we end up with problems with our back or our shoulders because they've got stuck in that pattern, and then they can't move in a particular way because they've had that like netting put around them that means that they can't move. So actually by introducing kind of gentle movement through yoga or, you know, flexibility or Pilates, then we help to enhance that whole range of movement by putting our bodies into different positions, you know. So you've got the stuff that you do in your strength, but then we can complement it by bringing in functional movement through our yoga, through our Pilates, which is going to just, it builds on so that, it just puts you together as a whole human being.
It does, doesn't it? And I think that's it, exactly what you've just said. It's looking at yourself as a whole human being. I know when I had Katie Doran on the podcast talking about pelvic health, she's a pelvic floor osteopath, and talking about this whole idea that it's not just about looking at those muscles in isolation. It's the whole body. It's how you walk. It's how you move. It's how you go down to the floor to tie your shoes. It's everything. And it's the same thing. And I think we don't, I was talking to a client yesterday about this and this idea of rest. And, you know, she very much enjoys movement's part of her mental health toolkit. Mm-hmm. She loves training, really enjoys it, and she misses it when she has a rest day. And she said, I feel really twitchy on a rest day. And it's that for me when I'm working with somebody, and it's something that, again, I've had to master myself. And there's been, you know, blocks in my training in the past when I was training for sort of ultra endurance events, when I might, you know, train hard 6 days a week, maybe have one day off. And it's getting to understand that that rest, that down day, even if it does look like a little bit of that gentle movement, is as important. It's as important to you on so many levels as when you are absolutely going full out in your HIIT session.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be reminded of that even when we do know it, because it feels so different and it feels like such an adjustment in terms of that energy shift. But I would love it if we could all kind of rebrand rest and recovery as something that is equally important, because if we're not giving our bodies that space, then they can't up level. They can't make those adaptations, can they, at all? You're just going to plateau, or you get injured, or be burnt out. You are in effect negating or blunting the potential that the hard work you're putting in is going to reach.
And a lot of the time what I work on is just shifting the perspective of how people are looking at things. So like for that person, looking at the fact that actually your rest day is the day that your muscles can heal themselves, you know, because each time you're doing some sort of strength, or, you know, we're breaking the muscle fibers down, your rest days are giving them the opportunity to build themselves up, but stronger, because that's actually what's happening. You know, when we break them down, we give them the rest to enable them to have those connections, the fibers to get stronger again. Or it's about, like we said earlier, it's about bringing the cortisol levels down, which is also going to help that healing process, which is just like you said, it means that we're not going to get as injured. It also has an impact on your immune system. You know, if we're constantly going, we're constantly pushing the body, then the immune system is going to have a detrimental impact. Those rest days are like having, you know, some bioculture, like little shots into the body. I was trying to think of a really good analogy, but it is that momentary kind of...
Yeah.
It's the healing. It's an absolutely necessary part of everything that you're doing.
Exactly. And I think you've touched on something there, because, you know, people will often come and ask my views on supplements, or, you know, what about doing this or this hack, or should I get in an ice bath, or should I? And I'm just like, maybe just have a rest day. But if you're not nailing the basics, and I think this comes back to, you know, what we're talking about here is absolutely fundamental, isn't it, to everything?
Yeah.
To your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, your relationships, everything. And yet we have relegated rest to something that has to be earned,
yeah,
that is something that lazy people do, that is seen as a cop out, or, oh God, rest day, boring. Or, you know, easy day, oh, well, where's the, I don't get the buzz from that. But it's so fundamental. I mean, I'll ask you in a minute what you'd like somebody to take from this conversation, but what I take from it, and what I hope people listening take from it, is that you see this as an equal partner in everything that you're doing. And it has to rank above, you know, taking your electrolytes or your protein supplements. It has to. It has to have that weighting, because it's so bloody important.
Absolutely. I mean, you've said it. They are on equal par with each other. And I guess the benefit that I see is that because it's low intensity, because it's low impact, it is something that you can do every day. Yeah. You know, I probably wouldn't go for like a strong leg centric yoga session every day. I might balance out, you know, lower body with upper body if we were kind of working hard. But if you're just in a gentle, going through a full range of motion, full range of movement, you know, tuning into what your body needs on any particular day. I mean, yesterday for me, it was lying down on the mat, doing a meditation, which then ended up as a snooze. You know, that was what I needed. It was slightly disturbing in the fact I had a client coming and hadn't set an alarm. Fortunately, I woke up. But, you know, it's absolutely vital to everything. And I find that if I don't do it, if I don't bring those in, that's when I find that I don't have the capacity. When I don't have the energy for doing the things that I want. It's when my capacity for dealing with life means that is reduced, so that I'm snappy and I'm shouty, and, you know, those are the things that are my triggers, which goes back to what you asked earlier, what are the things that I look for me? I feel overwhelmed. The normal to-do list I can't actually function on. I'm shouting at the kids, or I'm forgetting that we need to eat in an evening because, you know, I've forgotten that, you know, we need 3 meals a day. It's those things that kind of you need to go and have 10 minutes on your mat. Just go and have, and it doesn't have to be 10 minutes. You know, a lot of the things that I talk about with my clients is weaving it into the day, as you've said. It might be going and doing a chair pose in the toilet at work, or, you know, having a little stretch from side to side. I would say big, deep breathing, maybe not in your work environment. It depends on where you're at. If you're at home, that might be better. Or it might just be putting your hands on your heart and taking 5 breaths as that kind of little pause while you're boiling the kettle. You know, those are I quite often put my hands on the work surface, walk back and do a wall dog. It is a wall dog, but on the kitchen work surface, to stretch out my back if I've been sat down. Or, you know, it's just, and it goes into, you know, if you've been sat down, then you're going to need movement. If you've been on your feet all day, then probably a sit down. If you've been out with people and lots of going on, then you might just need 5 minutes with nobody around, not talking to you. And vice versa. It comes back to the balance of what your day has been and what you need.
I love that. And there's so many practical hints there and tips that people can actually weave in, because it doesn't, as you say, it doesn't necessarily have to be like this big block. You don't have to think about it. And I need to do my practice. It needs to be an hour long. It's those little points, isn't it?
It's what you were talking about in your podcast. I think if it wasn't last week, it was, or whenever, a couple of weeks ago. And you were talking about, you know, the doing an extra flight of stairs, not putting everything in your washing. It's those little bits that make the difference. And the yoga, the meditation, the breathing techniques, those all come into that as well. It's the habit stacking, putting it onto something that you're already doing. So if you're already going to the toilet, you know, do a chair pose, or you could even do, you know, a warrior pose, or a, you know, just even a simple mountain pose, and, yeah, and breathe to give you that little pause that's going to help to give you that mini reset. And if you do like a couple of those throughout the day, then you're going to build it up, and it's that, yeah, back to the stress bucket. We're just doing those little empties out of your stress bucket so that you can have more focus, you can have more capacity for, you know, your children coming in and demanding that they need this for tomorrow, because, you know, that's what they do. For them.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
I need food for food tech tomorrow. That's,
it's always, where is my, where is my blah? And you're like, well, it's probably in the washing basket.
But if, you know, if you've been, yeah, exactly. If you've been like piling everything on top and not taking those moments, that could be just this straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah. And I think flipping it on its head, I'm guessing, you know, once you start to build this in, you build that virtuous cycle going the other way, and you actually start to notice, oh, I didn't react there.
Yeah.
You know, it's that classic thing. I always think, I have this like Kilner jar that I store my oats for breakfast in. Mm-hmm. And inevitably there's always like some spillage at some point across the week where it just, some got caught around. And I almost gauge as my little barometer how I react to that spillage.
Yep.
If my oats tipping all over the site, I just go, oh, well. Or, but if I literally feel like, you know,
throwing
seething
the jar
rage at these poor oats, then that is like that. But it's those little mundane things sometimes, isn't it, that you just notice.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm guessing it's quite a quick shift once you start to build that in.
Yeah, once you start building that awareness in, once you start building in those tiny little pauses throughout the day, then, and actually building in those little pauses helps you to build up the awareness, which then, you know, you then start to notice, oh, my nervous system's a little bit something. What do I need to be able to put that back into play? Yeah, what boundary do I need to put in?
I often come back to in my head what you'd said to me about teeth brushing, parallel with teeth brushing.
Yeah.
Please share that, because I think it's
good. Okay, so the analogy that I had was that, you know, we brush our teeth, hopefully, for 2 minutes twice a day to make sure that we have a nice, healthy mouth. We wouldn't dream about not cleaning our teeth for a month and then trying to do it all in one go and trying to get a healthy mouth in that respect. It is about that, just that little and often, that makes the biggest impact, you know. So
I love that. And it stuck with me whenever I think of not doing the things that you taught me, and I think, oh, I'll just do it the weekend. And I think, but I wouldn't just brush my teeth the weekend, honestly. So I think it's really, really helpful. Oh, Karen, I could chat to you for hours. It's so useful. And I think it's such a nice contrast to my daily life and the things that I'm always talking about and studying. And it's such a good reminder. And I've learned the hard way over the years, I think, the value of the work that you do and the value of taking the rest, taking that moment. And it's just so, so important.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that you'd like people to take away from this conversation, what would it be? Sorry, I've totally put you on the spot there, haven't I?
You're expecting me to remember what we've talked about for the last hour as well. I guess, you know, the things that have really stuck with you, which is that your capacity doesn't equal your capability. I think that one is a key one. And that if you keep filling up your stress bucket, whether that's with really fab stuff, like going and seeing friends or family, or whether it's stresses at work, or even doing the stuff that, you know, your exercise, it fills up your stress bucket. And we need to find ways to be able to empty it out so that you can enjoy life. I'm all about being able to thrive in life rather than survive it. And I think when we get to midlife, there is quite a lot of just need to survive today.
Yeah.
But what if we could just change that and say, what could I do to thrive today?
Oh, I love that.
Ah, such a good place to leave it. That's so glorious. I love it. Karen, I know you've got lots of things going on. Do you want to just tell people listening where they can find you and what you've got coming up? And I will put everything in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're like, oh, I can't remember, I'm going to put everything there.
I've got all sorts going on. So I have, a bit like you, I've got a weekly class that people can join. It's 45 minutes, which just starts to kind of build that into your practice. But with that, I've got a monthly membership. In the monthly membership, I've got short practices that complement the slightly bigger ones. So it enables you to start weaving that in. You can check out my website, which I'm sure you'll link through rather than me shouting lots of letters at everybody. I've also got a program that I work with midlife women through, which is a 9-week program, so that you can check that out. That's on the website, or just drop me a message. I work with people one-to-one as well, so depending on what people want. And I have some seasonal workshops, so if you want to kind of come along to one of those and find my craziness before you do anything else, then
amazing. And where can people, is it Instagram best to get you on?
You can get me on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn as well, and on Facebook.
I will write it all down.
Perfect.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I feel so much calmer just listening to you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, Karen.
We'll no worries.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.